Calling the meeting back to order. May I point out that I have the speakers list here for the public comments. If there's anybody out there who wants to speak under public comments and hasn't signed up, here's the list. We'll leave the list at the end of this table, and if you decide over the course of events that you want to add your name to the public speakers, to the public comments, please feel free to do so. We are now at the point of the agenda to hear the treasurer's report. No, we're going to do them after the treasurer's report. I don't know. Okay, heads up, everybody pay attention. If somebody knows where the members of this body are, tell them to come back. They're all out front. Well, they ought to come back here. We're going to have a treasurer's report and a discussion on the budget. Okay. Just take one and pass it on. Take one and pass it on.
We have some for the public or what?
Thank you. Maybe we could leave the extras down where Tanya is, and if people in the audience want them, they can get them. Okay? All righty. Thank you, one and all. I would like you now to give your attention to the treasurer of the LSB, Barbara Whipperman, and KPFA's business manager, Maria Negret. Okay.
Good afternoon. We're going to have three documents today, and the first has just been passed out. It's a statement through July of finances, income and expenses. And Maria, what are you writing on the board there?
Go ahead.
All right. I don't know what she's up to. We've driven her over the edge. If you'll look in this statement, it's just the summary of the first three quarters, and then a column for the month of July, and it's the usual layout of comparing actuals to what was budgeted. And when you get to column R, this is the current balances in July. So we want to look at line 16 across and R down. That's the amount of income that has come in through July. Next to it is the amount that was budgeted. Next to that is the $55,781 that is under what was budgeted. And then dropping down to same column R, line 27, you'll see the, it says total direct expenses. We have others than direct. But direct expenses, and then the next to that is the budgeted amount, and next to that is the $95,048 over expenses that we had budgeted. So we are, in spite of some positive things that people have been talking about today about money, we're in the hole. And then if you go down further, you look through the capital items, we get down to the another minus figures. Now, the pages that follow here are really explanations of these summaries that are on the first page. So if you go to the very last page, you'll see at the same bottom line, the same negative $61,620, and the year-to-date negative of $121,031. So, I don't have a lot more to say about this particular. There aren't any more right here. There should be some down at the end of that table. That's kind of the atmosphere that we're going to look at the rest of our treasurer's report in. And I will give you a couple things to write down. One is that the bank balance, as of August 1st, we had 140, turn over your record, write it on the back. We had $143,422 in the bank. And the accounts payable that we owed at that date was $10,405. So we had enough money to cover the bills that were coming in. I'll tell you about a couple of other balances. One is we have a very small money market fund in which we have a rousing $121.
How many cents?
I only wrote the round figure, sorry. And then you've heard in the past about our $150,000 CD, which was being held as collateral for against a line of credit loan that the national office had taken out. And it turns out that the line of credit was due to be either renewed or paid off this month. And the national office took our $100,000 of our CD and paid off the line of credit. Now, we had offered that to them last March when they saw a lot of money in our bank and wanted to take it to pay our central services from the prior year, which we still owed on. And Maria negotiated and whatnot, but we still ended up paying them the prior year $100,000 last March. However, we have been up to date on all our central services payments. And then there's the matter of bill backs. The bill backs have not been given to us in a timely fashion. Bill backs are things that are not central services, but the national office is going to have KPFA pay for. There are things that fit outside that category of central services. They are things like legal bills. Now, this leaves $50,000 in our CD. However, we've gotten a statement. It's a couple hundred short. We have yet to figure out what happened to that. And you might ask, how can they take this $100,000? And Andrew did visit LaVarne Williams, our CFO, and ask about that, and was told that this money is going to be put against our central service fees for this month and next month. And also we will have more bill backs coming. And we estimate, Maria quickly looked through all her figures and so on, and we estimated that the central services fees for August and September we can't tell yet until they are, you know, the money comes in and the calculations are made, but they should be somewhere between $50,000 and $80,000. You want to say, she always really floors me because there's something about where the money goes and whether it can actually be spent from there. And why don't you talk about this $100,000?
Okay, well, we had $150,000 in change in a CD. That was $100,000 of it was being held as collateral, as you all know. And as Barbara said, we had offered to give it to us, to national office, and say, pay off the line of credit, quit paying interest, quit paying fees, and all that kind of stuff. Let's just get rid of it. We can't use the $100,000. We might as well just pay off the line of credit and be done with it. But I discovered that there was an in and an out on August 1st of $100,000, and I questioned it.
Our
operating account of $100,000. So there was a payment to the line of credit, and then there was an over-the-counter deposit, it said. So I thought net effect is zero. So they must have used our money but put money back in immediately. Then yesterday I got a statement, and the statement said $49,000. And I called the bank right away, and yes, our money, KPFA's CD, was used to pay off the line of credit. My personal feeling is that a comment to Andrew, myself, or Barbara would have been nice, and not to find out, 19 days later by a statement. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. Anyway, the $49,000 that's left, we cannot use either. And the reason we can't use it is the bank has this crazy notion that everybody is going to, or possibly the possibility is there that people will want refunds on their monies that they've already given, like, EFTs, that people who give on a monthly basis. So they're afraid that $50,000 worth is going to, be reversed. So they're holding that as collateral against potential refunds, I guess. I don't know. And that's crazy. Because at the most I've ever seen is $300, $400 a month. So $50,000 is craziness. But, I'm pushing hard to get away from Wells Fargo. So that hopefully would help. I spoke to, in a business manager's meeting, I spoke to the KPFK business manager, and I spoke to him again, and I just got the statements yesterday afternoon, so I haven't been able to look. Apparently, they pay a lot less in bank fees than we do. We pay an average of $1,200 a month in bank fees. It's based on our volume. We have so many checks and this, and that's just bank fees. And then we're going to have to do a lockbox, which is going to cost us another $1,200 a month. So just to do our checks, just checking an operating account is going to be about $2,400.
We're on it.
Well, I had proposed a different change, but that got shot down by the auditor. I do understand why it got shot down by the auditor. It's just that, on average on check, it's called a lockbox, just like you do PG&E, it goes to a P.O. box of sorts or whatever. Right now we're paying about 75 cents per unit
To
handle the check. Wells Fargo wants between $1.50 and $2 per check. Yeah, and so my biggest concern is that, say a person gives a $5 check, $2 of it's going to go to the bank. So that's atrocious. That's absolutely atrocious. So anyway, I would have liked to have known this about Bank of America being so much cheaper a long time ago, because we've been paying this for I don't know how long, ever since I've been here. But anyway, I'm looking at Mechanics Bank and possible. I don't know, credit unions may not handle commercial, but
I think so.
Mechanics Bank is a local, business person's type of bank. So we're in that, but unfortunately it's I don't know, have the information to put it in the budget yet. So anyway.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, that's sort of money news, and we'll talk some more about the bank charges and how they fit into the budget that we have to look at for next year. They're kind of last minute things that we are finding that may improve our situation, but it's not going to be something we can actually point to an amount and count on today when we get to the budget part. Anyway, I encourage you to look at this statement if you're at all interested in how the money flows. And if you have questions, Maria is wonderful to ask questions of. You can ask me, too, but she probably knows better than I. Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to answer to Sharam about, extending or holding off on the fund drive? Well, being that we now do not have a reserve, I'm sorry to say that that's not an option. So,
okay, we're going to pass out the next document, which I'm sorry, there aren't enough of these for the audience. Maybe there's a couple, but this is a here. This is a summary of the changes that have happened since the LSB voted on the budget last month. Boys. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the really big thing you have to do today is vote on the budget for next year. And I would prefer if we would skip off questions about the state of this year's money right now and go to this other business, see how far we get with, you know, some resolution of a budget that can be presented to the National Finance Committee next Tuesday night, which is our deadline, and then see if we have time to talk about the state of the current year's money. So, yeah, that's right. So this document now has the budget as it was presented to you on July 16th, and the changes, then there's a kind of wide column that says changes per LSB. So those are the things you guys voted on. And then there's a column that shifts the totals there. Now, I did send an email to you all a few days after this meeting that said, of course, when we got back to the office and did some calculations in the computer, things did not turn out exactly the way you had thought they would when you voted on them. For instance, there was a figure of $80,000 set aside for or included in the budget for a development director, and Maria quickly made a calculation that with benefits that position would be about $106,000. But in fact, when she got back to the computer and the complicated template that we use for that controls a lot of things in the budget and all the budgets in the network, it turned out that that position really would be cost $114,000. So that's one thing that changed. You'll see in the next column. Also, the Mateel grant, which we were having a difficulty deciding whether to include or not, and we left it in. We found out that, in fact, we weren't getting that much, that we were getting $25,000 rather than $60,000. So there are some adjustments in that column for that. And then our IGM had things that he wanted to change in the budget. And he, at that point, and there are dates at the top of these columns, you see. It signifies how the discussions were going on. At this point, it was by the 1st of August, Andrew had decided that perhaps it'd be a good idea to put the salary of the prospective development director at a lower rate, so it went down to $65,000. And with benefits, that is a $97,000 personnel expense. And he wanted to retain some consultant money. So the rest of that, what was $114,000, got put into a consultant. So we have $97,000 for a development director position and $17,000 for a consultant. Let's see. I'm just looking at the front page. I'm going to, yeah, why don't you go ahead? The next column, by the way, is has to do with this processing of checks, the caging and the bank expense.
Okay, well, column, as Barbara said, you know, column C was what we brought to you last time. Column F is as per your changes. Column I has some adjustments that we found out after the last meeting. Then again, as Barbara says, Andrew had made some changes to the development director to also have a consultant as well. So that's column L. Then I found out that basically that the way we do the lockbox right now is a no-go. So that is going to increase our banking fees by about $29,000. So I then put that in. So, and please excuse that little $3,000 thing that kind of was, oh no, $3,000, that's, right now we use a lockbox clerk who does it in-house, and basically her salary is about $3,000 versus the $29,000 that we'll be paying the bank. So that obviously ate up a big chunk there. Then come to find out, B of A is apparently a lot cheaper, but we just kind of got that information, so I can't speak on it too much because I don't want to, you know, give you guys high hopes and find out it's not true. So column O is where we're at right now. So we have a loss before capital expenditures of $33,600, basically. And then after capital expenditures, we have
the next page in the middle, column L.
Column O and line 60.
Mm-hmm.
We have a loss of $97,000. And I...
By the end of this
fiscal year? No, this is the budget.
This is the budget.
For next year.
Yeah.
So your job today is to figure out what to take out, what to change, what to argue with the National Finance Committee for, whatever, so that this the goal is to have a balanced budget.
Yeah. I will say that I spoke to Aunt Michael Yoshida, and I said, okay, Michael, you gave me your wish list. What of this wish list can you do without? And you'll see on rows 47 and 48 that I lined them out. Yeah. So we've taken those out. They're not in the budget. You know, we just have some, you know, we have $10,000. Like we said before, the security system at 1929 is bad. Well, we don't have one, basically. And things tend to walk, so we're wanting to, you know, do a security cameras and such. We're line 58. We have to pay back. That's part of what we call the bill backs. We're paying back National Office for the Heath bequest that they used a couple of years ago.
Beyond this first page and a half, this is the same information, just
in
more
detail. Yeah. So basically, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, I don't know where else to. And I do want to alert you all to the fact that at the last LSB meeting, because we were hoping to get a development director, we increased grant income by $51,000, and we increased listener support by $10,000. So that $97,000 in the hole includes that extra income. If that extra income doesn't come in, you're looking at an additional $61,000.
It also increased the expenses for handling the extra
income.
That
is true, yes.
There's development expenses that aren't associated with a development director. And Margie's such a good referee. We're going to let her referee you through the questions.
Okay, let's start with questions. Does anyone have questions for Barbara Maria about Laura?
I just want to know what your recommendation is. to hear your recommendations for how you think we should solve this budget shortfall.
Well, I have my opinion, and I think Maria has her opinion, but I've experienced strong resistance from some members of the LSB from expressing my opinion here. Since I am not an elected member, I'm elected by you, but not by listeners as you are. So I'm a little reluctant to say what my opinion is at this point. Are you?
I wish I had some good ideas. I've pondered this long and hard, and I just don't know. It's we run so lean at the station. I mean, down to you need a pen, show me the pen that you know you have that. Yeah, show me that you have no more ink in that pen before. I mean, you know, we are. Yeah. I don't know anymore.
Let me just remind people, I'm just asking for questions about the information that's been presented, and then we'll get into discussion, I hope, very quickly. Okay, Sasha, Anthony, and then Tracy.
So the development director's position is for an annual salary. So I really have a question in terms of we're not even advertising this yet. And are we going to be advertising for a development director, Andrew, anytime soon? Or are we waiting for a permanent GM to be hired to select a development director? Because it occurs to me, if we're talking about not having a development director's salary or benefits for half a year, then perhaps we could look at cutting that figure in half.
Anthony, you guys want to talk?
That's all. The budget is for next year, so this $97,000. That's all. This $97,000 would start October 1st.
If we,
yeah. Would be for our having a development director in place.
I already asked that question. The question is basically, what is the projection for when a development director would be in place and on the job? We're now in the middle of August. The budget begins. New year begins October 1. When do we think there'll actually be a hired development director?
Okay, thank you, Sasha. Next, where did I write these names down? Hold on a second. We're gonna hear questions, we're gonna hear answers, and then we're gonna have a discussion. So, Anthony, and then Tracy.
Yeah, is the deficit? Is it the 97,000 in column O, or is it the 75,000 in column R?
Column O?
Well, there's 97,000 in column O, line 60, but then three columns to the right of that, there's a 75,491.
Right, that one was done on 8.1, version 3, uh-huh. And then on 8.11, as we stated, there was additional information, or we tried to cut some things, and that's column O. So right now...
That column is very speculative.
I'm comparing column O to the column off further to the right, where it's...
The last set of changes
are
very tentative, mm-hmm. And they're not anything to be relied on. It's speculation as to how much money we can save if we change our bank, mm-hmm. And we get a cheaper way to handle our deposits. Mm-hmm. So it's... Just to give you an idea that maybe in the future things won't be quite so bleak, but in fact, we couldn't put that into a budget to be presented to the National Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. You should be dealing with column O. Hmm.
Okay, Tracy.
A couple of things. On the budget, there's two quick points to make. One is basically what you're looking at is projecting flat income.
I'm sorry, Tracy, but we were trying to get questions out. Do you have a question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
What we're looking at here is projecting flat income, 3.622 to 3.637 is pretty much the same number, and yet increasing our operating expenses by $80,000 or $90,000. That's essentially why we're in the hole on this budget. So I think that people need to either pay attention, and don't forget we already lifted the revenue up by $60,000 at the last meeting. So it seems to me, and I'm sure that Barbara and Maria would agree, that we need to look at the operating expenses part of the quotient, because we don't really have a recipe for paying that extra $80,000 or $90,000 in expenses that we're projecting. In terms of the development director, we should remember that we already projected, the budget from 11. We already projected about $40,000 or $50,000 in more major donations because of our hypothetical development director. We already proposed $50,000 more in grants because of our hypothetical development director. And I think $10,000 more in listener revenue. So if we are eliminating 6 months of that development director, we're also going to need to eliminate probably 6 months of that projected income to be realistic and not to get ourselves into a hole. Otherwise, on the financial statement, I'll just highlight for people on 16X is indeed that $39,000 increase in annual revenue that was mentioned. We are, in fact, entirely on budget for projected revenue so far in FY 2011.
I'll call on you during the
No, this is important.
Discussion. I'm not arguing that it's not important. This is a time for people to ask questions. If you have a question, please ask it. Then we'll get into the discussion. I'll call on you during the discussion. You can make all the. I don't want to prolong the question period before we get into the discussion. That's all. I'm asking you. If you have a question, please.
Finish my sentence.
No.
And then that will be that. The differential in your...
Okay, no, stop. Hush, everybody. Let her finish her sentence if that's what she's going to do.
If you don't want to pay attention to your financial statements, you're not going to make very good budgets.
Tracy, we're going to have a discussion. I'm asking for questions. I'm not being difficult, honest to God.
The shortfall in your projected revenue, if you look at it, is line 13, other grants. That's all. You have $58,900 you stuck in the budget. That didn't show up. That's why you're off. Otherwise, your budget would be spot on for the entire year in terms of anticipated revenue. There's more to say about expenses, but it can wait until later. The question is to confirm that, in fact, your revenue is flat and you're projecting spending $80,000 to $90,000 more in operating expenses. And
yeah, really.
That's what's out of whack in the budget.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't even understand your question. Okay, I apologize. Does anyone else have any questions about the information on the budget? Okay, now we're ready to have a discussion, okay? And I see Mal Bernstein. Are there other people who want to talk? Pass Mal a microphone.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Andrew, do you want to respond to Sasha's question about the projected time development director? Thank you.
Firstly, obviously, we have to accept the proposal that we take on the development director. I mean, I can't tell you when exactly we will be able to hire a development director. All I can say is as soon as possible after we're given permission to include this in our budget. How long that will take, I simply cannot tell you. I mean, I want to point out another thing. I misspoke before. I said that the consultant amount was $50,000. I was thinking of last year's development director line. Yeah, the current budget is $17,000. And that's the difference between the amount that the board suggested last time and reducing it to a $65,000 line for the development director for 2012 and a consultant.
Thank you. Okay, Mal.
It seems to me we have little choice. If we're facing a shortfall of $97,000, in my opinion, if we cut staff, we're cutting the very thing that any development director would be selling. We're undermining the ability of the station to survive, and I think that we ought not to start by looking at cuts in staff. So I would propose that we eliminate the line item that we now have for the development director, with the notion that we can revisit that at any time during the coming year if funds are there to permit it. But at this point, taking out that $97,000 item for the development director basically balances the budget. The other thing that I would propose is that we delete the item to add money for the salary of the program director. I think that's not warranted. We have an interim program director, and at such time as we have a permanent one, we can worry about that, but that's another $10,000 that we can save out of this budget. That's good for a start.
Excuse me, are you making this as a motion? Or is this?
If motions are appropriate, then yes.
Okay, well, if you make it as a motion, then we discuss that. We can continue to have general discussion about the budget.
I would prefer to have general discussion,
okay.
and then make
okay.
motions.
Very good. All right. Next. Okay, Tracy and Jack. Anybody else? Frank. Okay.
Seems to me we might want to look at line 133. The line 133 refers to your financial statement. On your budgetary and line item thing, it's, let's see, programming expenses is where? 125. Although I do see that it has come down somewhat. If
but
we take a look at 2010, I'm talking
budget?
About website expenses.
Yeah. But current financial statement or budget?
133 on the financial statement, 125 on the budget statement.
Okay.
If you take a look in 2010, you spent $20,000, $20,852 in that category for the first 10 months of the year. It looks like this year we've spent $66,868. Basically, we've tripled it. I presume that is because we're paying consulting fees to maintain our website. It is line 133 on the income statement. 133R is what we paid this year. And 133X. 133W is what we paid in 2010. 133W is three times, is one-third of 133R, so that is a very substantial increase for, I think, what we would all agree is pretty much the same website as we had last year. While I would like to allocate money for the website, I would like to allocate that money towards improvements in the website. And my sense of it is that if we are financially unable to do that, that spending some $50,000 to maintain the website that we have might be money that we can choose to spend in other ways. So it seems to me that investing that money in development, be it consulting or as part of salary, might be a slightly better way to go. I'm going to hold off making a motion right now, but it seems to me that a significant chunk of the deficit could be made up that way, and it would be, as cuts go, somewhat painless, since obviously we did without it in 2010.
Thank you. Next is Jack, followed by Frank.
Hello?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I would like to try to shift the terms of the discussion a little bit. It seems to me that a budget such as this one is, in the first place, a political and a strategic document, and not so much, and only in the second place, is it a document about how much money is going to be allocated to this, that, and the other thing. Because the allocations come from the politics and the strategic conception. This strategic conception, it seems to me, has come from Andrew in his initial general manager's report. And I have some things to say about that in relation to the budget. So there is a question of hiring a development director. And the issue to me for hiring a development director is, in the first place, how is that development director going to be used to raise more money for the station? That is the job of a development director. Now, what I have heard from Andrew is that the development director is going to, his conception of it is to use the development director to try to reach out to different listening audiences without the perspective of those listening audiences making substantial income for the station. Now, there may be all sorts of arguments about why the station should reach out to these additional listeners or potential listeners or communities. But it seems to me that if the use of the development director is to reach out to those communities without the expectation of significant additional income, then what's happening, at least in my view, is that the position of development director is not being used for what a development director should be used for, and that is to raise additional money for the station. Therefore, I think that the idea of a development director, paying for a development director, potentially means increased staff layoffs or reductions in paid staff, is a consequence of an exactly wrong notion of what a development director should look like. In the previous discussion, there was an observation that in the past number of years, the membership in KPFA has declined from 23,000 to 19,000. Now, what happened to those 4,000 people? Is there anything in the conception of the use of a development director that involves reaching out to those 4,000 people? Surely we have their names. Reaching out to those 4,000 people and asking them to rejoin and contribute. That's the job of a development director. And so when I take a look at this budget, I see that sitting behind this budget is a strategy that has been articulated by Andrew, which in my view is going to result in a reduction of income to the station. And therefore, I find myself in a terrible, terrible quandary about this. And what I want to know is if Andrew is committed to use a development director for the purpose, primarily in the first place, of increasing income to the station, as opposed to other different parallel purposes.
Okay, thanks. The next person on the list is Frank, and then I would suggest that Andrew have an opportunity to respond. Is that all right with everyone? If you want to speak after? Okay. Go ahead.
I would say if you want to let him respond to that first, you may, because mine is not as on the same topic. Or it's on the budget, but it's not.
It's on a different topic.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
You want to let him respond first?
Okay, so go ahead, Andrew. You have a mic.
Let me preface this by saying when I shared some ideas about how we might use a development director, that was some of the ideas, Jack, and I had previously mentioned other elements of a proposed development strategy. But overarching all of this was the idea, and is the idea, that we bring in a development specialist, a.k.a. Kim Klein, and that she would help us determine what would be the best way to go about raising money and increasing income to the station. So first of all, the idea that we would go out and reach, do some audience outreach, which I point out is for the future of the station and for future income. It's not just audience equals income, is part of a suggested development strategy, not the only part of a development strategy. I had also
the only part that you mentioned.
Jack,
no, it's
Jack,
not, Jack. Jack. I mentioned the 20th anniversary the 20th anniversary of the building of KPFA. I mentioned the apprenticeship program, and last time I was here, I mentioned possible reaching into other communities like Sacramento, for instance. And I also said as an overarching policy that we need to have a specialist, someone who can direct ways in which we can go about increasing money. None of this is stuck in concrete. It's a proposal towards a plan, and the major component of it is the possibility that Kim Klein will be able to direct us in an intelligent way toward raising more money for the station. That's what's primary and key to this, I would submit.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew. Before I call on you, Frank, Barbara says they have another document to pass out. Let's do that, and then, Frank, you'll be up.
I'm doing this because Sharam came up and wheedled a few copies away from Maria. But so what we've been looking at is the thing that shows by date the changes that happened since your last meeting. And this is the budget as it's proposed here. In column O, at this point, we have to either present it to the National Finance Committee or fix it and send it to the National Finance Committee.
If you look at column O on the document, which is
the
ones that has adjustments in bold, okay, and you look at column O, okay. All those numbers are summaries, and this document is the detail that makes up all those summaries, okay?
And,
all right.
And the bottom line is 60-0.
Well, on this document, 60-0 is where you see the $97,000 deficit, all right? 97,000, and that's the same. That is. The.
It's on 56AB.
Right, 56AB on the budget document is the same as is the whole thing. Okay. This is just, okay, so these are the details. And so you can see, you know, what, if you want to look at details. All right, now, I am calling on Frank. And the only people I have on the list so far are Frank, Andrea, and then Sasha. We have allocated until 2:30 for this item on the agenda, and so I'm hoping that we can goal to make to do that. All right, Frank.
Good day again, everybody. And I'm not an expert on budgets. In fact, these are all quite confusing to me. But I do understand that there was like a slight increase in the apprenticeship program, and we appreciate that. And I just want to remind everybody that back 2 or 3 years ago when the cut started happening, the apprenticeship program was one of the first to feel it when the hiring freeze was put on and two of our fellows were not allowed to be rehired after they had quit. And so I don't know if this is a proposal or what it is, but I'm just trying to put it out there that when possible, in the hopefully the near future, the next budget, whatever, that we try to, I know it's a hard word to handle right now, but increase a little bit to the apprenticeship program, which we are now, I mentioned a couple of times, at a one half-time person with benefits. And we are really hoping to get it to one full-time person, still with one person with benefits, and which we would use to pay two, possibly three more people. It would be split up between two or three people. And just a couple other facts about that. Since we were the first ones to fill the crunch a few years ago, 2-3 years ago, if I remember correctly, like I said, we've been cut down from two full-time positions to one half-time position. We had five people that would be at service to apprentices. Now we're down to two. And I have, being one of them, am really severely cut back because I'm downstairs in the on-air control room. A few of the names that you may recognize that came through your apprenticeship program, I'll just go through a small list, is like Norrell Hanrahan, Kirsten Thomas that does the board out for the morning show. Lewis over here is a graduate apprentice. Antonio Ortiz, Deanna Martinez, who works a producer for Letters of Washington. Rose Katopshi, who does Free Speech Radio News, as well as Evening News. Jane Chang, who's now doing Free Speech Radio News. Christopher Martinez. Esther Mania, Veronica Faison. That's a small list that I just came up with as I was sitting here. People that have came through the apprenticeship program that are now involved still in the station. Also, we have one apprentice now who's working in Jalapa, Mexico, doing a show called Somos the Same. That's Shayna Lancaster. Tying American, Mexican-Americans to people in Mexico, their roots, through music. And she attributes all that to her training in the apprenticeship program. We also have Allie Budner, who's working as a producer on live radio at KLAW. I forgot the name of the show. Your call?
Yes.
Okay, and so she's a live producer for that show. Also, Irene Flores is helping Mitch Deseritz with Letters to Washington. So this is a short list that came through the apprenticeship program. Also, we're very international. I feel we have apprentices from India, Kenya, Mexico. We've had one from Eritrea, Korea, El Salvador. And so, like I'm saying, just in these, even in these times, it's a struggle. We're about to bring in a new group of apprentices, and I could honestly say that they're going to be the least supported group of apprentices that I've been around since 2006 when I went through the apprenticeship program. And I've just watched the support for the apprentices go down and down to where now there's Mickey and a half-time me, which is all volunteer time, actually, because I'm volunteering 20 hours a week for the apprenticeship program. And I'm worried that when I want to move on, not that I really want to, I really love working there, but I do want to move on someday. There'll be nothing to leave anybody else that will come in and fill my spot. It'll be Mickey, and that'll be it. And so I'm hoping that we can try to get that back up to one full-time position where we'll try to pay at least three, maybe four people. And just another little thing, if you all listen to radio, I'm sure you do, if you listen to the Alcatraz special broadcast, Power to the Peaceful, all the anti-war demonstrations that are live broadcast, and I noticed, I'm forgetting your name right here, Dan, he's wearing the Geronimo Pratt shirt that came from the event that we did a live broadcast at Little Bobby Hutton Park. And all the apprentices did everything there but host. We carried the equipment, we did line producing, set up all the microphones, set up the table, hauled it all back to the station when it was over. And those are some of the things that we do, and I feel like it's just we're losing a lot. A lot more apprentices have been dropping out, feel to lack of support, some structure that's going down. You all know Renee Giesler has quit volunteering, and so that puts the class scheduling and stuff like that on me and Mickey, and it's become a struggle. Some of the things that we use the money for is we have a graduation ceremony maybe once or twice a year if we're lucky. I think that's $500 or $600 they let us use to rent a hall, provide some food, some other stuff. And we also pay people to come in and teach the apprenticeship classes, which I believe is $50 a class. Or if they're on the payroll, they get a 2 hours paid, whatever their pay is. So I think that's about all I have to say. I just want to encourage everyone to try to see that the apprenticeship program is a vital thing in the station. I know a lot of you believe that and feel that, but it has really slipped down. And like I said, the new group coming in is going to be the least supported group. Also, I'd just like to point out that Making Contact has had like 3, maybe 4 or 5 interns that came from KPFA through the apprenticeship program and moved on to Making Contact. And FSRN is ran right now. I know it comes; the reports come in from the reporters all over the world, but we assembled the FSRN and KPFA, and that's being done by Rose Katopsi, Jane Chang, and I believe Shauna Ray, I don't know her last name, all three of which are our graduate apprentices. So I'm hoping that we could at some time boost it up to just one full-time position with benefits, just one person getting benefits, and then we could pay 3, possibly 4 people with that, and it would really help support the apprenticeship program throughout the station, and I believe in turn support the station. Thank you all for listening.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. So there are 2 people left on the list for the general discussion around the budget, and then I'm hoping that we can move on to hearing and discussing motions. Oh, Tracy, you wanted to speak on the general discussion again? Okay. So there'll be 3 people. I'm going to ask everybody to try and keep their remarks brief, and then hopefully we will not have to extend time on this discussion since we're already 40 minutes behind our allotted agenda times, okay? So Andrea and then Sasha.
Andrew, I have a question in regards to, since we're going to make this difference with the development director and that of the consultant, how much is Kim Klein being paid an hour? And if so, it doesn't look like it may be like 10 hours of her time will be for us or whatever. Yeah. If I'm, let me just find out how much you're being paid.
Her standard rate is $175 an hour, but that's not necessarily what we'll be paying. I point out we've had one meeting with Kim, and as I keep saying, I don't want her to be seen as the complete answer to this. I mean, I brought that up in a report to say that she would be has been asked and has agreed to become a consultant. She figures when we had our initial meeting that she would probably come in once every 2 weeks, maybe spend 1 or 2 hours. That would be like $300 a meeting, maybe. If you do the arithmetic, that works out to quite a few meetings. She can be seen as a development coach. She won't actually be going out into the field doing the development. She'll be working with people inside the station and perhaps even with some of you to the extent that you're able to have the time or the interest to become involved with this. She's a development coach. That's what she is. She's not being paid specifically to do the development.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
That eats it up.
Okay.
Like that. I mean,
You got your answer. Okay. Sasha followed by Tracy. Sasha needs a microphone.
I did want to make a comment, but I have a question. We've had some email and some discussion about property taxes. Is there anything about a change in the property taxes that we pay that would make a difference in this budget? Okay. Sure. And then I do want to make a comment, but I just wanted to ask that question.
That won't make a difference on this budget. It could potentially bring it down a little bit, but not, we're talking about, yeah, it's not huge. We're talking about $3,000. What is kind of substantial is that we will be getting money back from property taxes, about $37,000. So that's, but it doesn't impact this budget. It's previous years. We overpaid.
Why would it not, it would be additional revenue. Why would it not impact this budget? If we're going to get $37,000.
Well, yeah, I guess that would. Depends on when it comes in. And
It's a thing that's in process right now. So that's an estimate, right? And in any case, the problem of the taxes being misclassified has been addressed. And you're right, that is income that's going to come in.
Okay, but we don't know exactly,
when
or whether it will be or when it will be, basically. So we can't count on it, which is too bad because it's $37,000. So, I've looked at this budget quite a bit because I was the only one who went to the budget meeting on Monday evening besides, of course, the two people who were there to talk to us about the budget.
And Andrew,
yes. Yes, so no other board members went. And I don't really see a whole lot of wiggle room here. I mean, I was trying to look to piece something together if there was 30 or 37,000 there, and maybe horrors, the news department had one wire service instead of two, but that would be an $11,000 savings. And as I look at this, you know, they're kind of little pieces, and it's all, you know, real speculative. And I don't know. I have to say that the discussions that I've heard so far about the role of a development director and the role of a development consultant, the consultant sounds extraordinarily expensive. I'm not too sure who she's going to be working with because there is no staff in place there. I'm very uncomfortable with an interim general manager hiring a development director because the permanent general manager really should be doing that role. And while I know very well that we need somebody in that position to bring in money, the truth of the matter is we've been without a development director now for something like 4 years, maybe five. And that's basically our budget shortfall. So are we entertaining motions at this point?
If you want to make a motion, you have to write it down on.
Oh, okay. I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You can say it first.
Well,
as long as you write down
I'm
the
basically
same words
going
you say.
To make a motion that we have no development director and we have no development consultant and we have a balanced budget. And when we have a permanent GM, we have to revisit that.
Okay. Next is Tracy. And is there anyone else who wants to participate in the general discussion before we get to motions? Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. All right.
Just
so.
In relation to what Andre points out, $17,000 divided by 175 equals 97 hours, which is a substantial amount of time, actually.
Okay.
For the consultant.
Thank you.